Welcome to the Hillingdon Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Hillingdon Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust podcast. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Steve Widgewood to talk about the incinerator, or what is now, I understand, better known as the Energy Generation Centre. Is that right,
you've
Steve?
You've got it, yeah, absolutely. It's changed its name.
Yeah. So could you just give us a brief overview then of the kind of the backstory behind it, how long it's been in place and what it does for patient care here at the hospital?
Absolutely, yeah. So the incinerator, which is next to the estates building over in Kirby Way, is next to our boiler house. So essentially our boiler house keeps the hospital warm. It provides hot water and heating. So our boilers on this side of Peelty Road keep the main hospital actually warm, etc. That obviously keeps patients warm. The incinerator has been here for decades, but for about the past 4 years, it's been out of use. And it really relates back to the fact that around that time, the previous people that ran it, SRCL, kind of run it into the ground. It wasn't really very safe. The environmental agency and the trust and the health and safety executive, we decided to close it down. And after that, there was a few attempts at, by my predecessors at trying to bring it back into operation. What we did, what we've done now, because that largely didn't really get off the ground. So what we've done now over the past almost 2 years, it's a 2 year project, is to actually use £9.7 million of NHS money to actually totally gut the building, put a new plant, refurbish the building. And essentially what it does is the incinerator incinerates different types of waste. So, for example, clinical waste that's produced in the main hospital, so patient clinical waste, is actually needs to be incinerated. Also medicines and sharps containers. So the sharps needles that people have, they put in the containers, needs to be disposed of via incineration. So what we had to do in that intervening period was send our waste off-site, which is obviously not great for the environment, to be taken away to be disposed of elsewhere through incineration. So by having our own plant, by bringing it back into use, it means that we can incinerate all that waste here. But our amount of waste is only a tiny fraction of the capacity of that big piece of plant. So, for example, we only have a small fraction of what's 8,000 tonnes of waste that can go through that plant. And what happens is that when the waste goes through there and is incinerated, there's a byproduct, which is steam. And that steam would otherwise go off into the air and be wasted. But what we do is we pipe that steam across the road to the main hospital. So essentially when the incinerator is running, which it is now, it's now operating as of last week, the steam will be captured, go through our pipes, under the main road, under the houses, under Peelteeth Road, up by the A&E ramp, or ED ramp rather, and into the main hospital. So that means that the incinerator will be providing the heat and hot water rather than let it go into the air. And when the incinerator needs to be cleaned out, because it's essentially a massive furnace, so when the incinerator needs to be cleaned out and maintained, there's downtime every weekend. And during that period, our boilers kick in. So our boilers in the Trust Boiler House then provide that hot water. So it's either boilers on the one side or the incinerator on the other. But most of the load will now be taken by the incinerator. So essentially, it's a two-year project, £9.7 million, being completed on time, on target financially. And what we've now done is we've now contracted with a new partner called Medisort. And Medisort are in the waste disposal business, if you like, the waste management business. So what we've done is we've went through a tender process. They won the tender. We've been partnering up with them and working with them and the Environment Agency just to make sure that everything is done as it should be. So no noxious emissions or anything like that. It's all done properly, all done within the regulations, the environmental regulations, that we can actually get the plant operational, and then Medisort will now run it. So essentially what that means for the trust is that we have steam that we didn't have before. So it takes the pressure off our boilers. Patient clinical waste gets disposed of just across the road from the main hospital. So that's better for the environment. It's safer as well. And also there are other things we get as well. We get a rental income for that, what was essentially an empty building. And we get some, and our waste is then disposed of for free. So we're not paying for it. That's part of the deal. And essentially beyond that, the extra tonnage that is available to go through the incinerator, other than our waste, our small fraction, is actually available to the NHS and to the wider private and public waste market. So other people could bring their waste in here via Medisol and we can dispose of it. And in a sense, that's good for the NHS because it means that in recent years, there's been, I think, about two or three incinerators nationally that really provide the resilience for the NHS. And during COVID, there were various problems with disposing of waste. So our incinerator has become the fourth one in the country to provide resilience to the NHS. So if there's a problem somewhere else in the country, theoretically, if we can accept that tonnage, that extra capacity, they would bring their waste here for us to dispose of. So it's a good story for patients, good story for the trust, obviously, good story for our finances, which is really important at the moment, because as we all know, finances are not are quite tight. And it's good news for the NHS as well. So it's a good news story all around. And as I said, working in partnership with the Environment Agency means that everything we've done, both in the terms of the capital project to build it and in terms of the permit work to make sure that it can be operated, has actually been done hand in hand with the Environment Agency. So good news all around.
Yeah. Excellent. And I mean, in terms of any impact of so kind of on the local community, I mean, obviously they see the building, but is there anything to ally any fears from them at all?
No, nothing raised with us. I mean, it's the actual incinerator, the buildings here have been here for decades. So the houses that were built around here, it's really essentially gardens. It's not really houses, it's gardens that back onto the periphery of the site. They were built afterwards. So people kind of knew the incinerator was here. It's very carefully managed, as I said, managed within the environmental regulations that the Environment Agency set. They check it regularly, that kind of thing. But what we did as part of this project was I wrote to local councillors to say, you know, would you like to come in? Would you like to see the project, see it being built? Talk to us about it, you know, any impacts and that kind of thing. And I did have one of the councillors take me up on the offer, and it's Councillor Gohill. And she came in, we gave her a tour. It was a work in progress at that stage. And she was gobsmacked, really, one way of putting it. It's quite an impressive piece of plant, if you like. It's a big piece of plant. And basically said that she would tell her constituents the good news, which is that it's good for the NHS, etc. Nothing untoward in that sense. No, no one's raising the issues. And there's no real issues for them to raise, really, because the access to site is tightly controlled. So when the waste is delivered, it's delivered during certain daylight hours. It's not delivered at the weekend, so it shouldn't impact on people very much. So as I said, within the past 3 or 4 years, it was actually fully operational anyway. So it's only been down for this period.
Okay, and as you've been working with the Environment Agency, because they've granted you a permit, haven't you? You need a permit for it. And yes. is the work with them, does that continue? Do they monitor it? Do they monitor what you do, and you know, to make sure you keep up the standards?
It does carry on. Yeah, I mean, there's a permit for the, when you run an incinerator, you need an Environmental Agency permit. You have to be authorised to do it and go through lots of different checks and processes. The permit is actually held by the contractor. So we worked with the Environment Agency and the contractor, Medisol, to make sure that they had the permit to run it. But we obviously have to be part of that because we're the landlord, we're a partner to them. And what the Environment Agency did as part of that process was continually visited during the capital project to see what was happening. There's when the build work was complete, it's not like a kettle, you can't just turn it on and whoopee-doo, it works and there's no problem. We're talking about a furnace that goes up to over 1,000 degrees and deals with significant amounts of waste going into machinery and stuff like that. So there's a three-stage process. So once the build work is done, the equipment's in place, you have to go through what's called cold commissioning. So you do a process of checking everything without real waste going through it. Then you go through a process of hot commissioning when it's turned on and it's actually fired up. In fact, I was there last week with the chief executive, with Patricia, and it's quite an impressive sight seeing the, you know, the fire, the furnace inside the machine, burning at 1,000 degrees, and that's a hot commissioning period. And then there's a period of kind of validation and ratification after that, and then you go live. So, and during that whole process, the Environment Agency come out, they check, they tick the box when you've reached a certain point. But then once you're operational, which we we are essentially, well, we are now in the medical there, and the incinerator is completed. The Environment Agency regularly check. They regularly check on, you know, are you doing the right thing, Medisort? Is the trust doing the right thing? Are the emissions where they should be? Are they the right type? Are you being safe? Those kind of things. So that kind of ongoing partnership and relationship is quite important. It will just carry on. So, but we're fine with that, because we want to make sure that everything's done correctly and safely.
And of course, the patients in the hospital, they wouldn't know, would they? Otherwise, the heating, the hot water, that's all from that. Yeah.
I see. I mean, it's interesting, because I did. I was doing some meeting with some people as part of the new hospital development work, members of the public, and one of them said, "Oh, my daughter lives at the back of your estates area, where there was an incinerator. Oh, it hasn't been going for a while. What's happening?" So I just told him and said, "You know, we've been doing this kind of work to make it operational, safe, etc." And I said, do you have any particular issues then? No. So just wonder what was going on. It's just interesting to know. But essentially, we're doing our job correctly if patients don't really know, because obviously they need to be cared for and treated. And the waste that's produced, you know, the clinical waste, the medicinal waste, the pharmaceutical waste, all that kind of element of it, should really be essentially just taken away quietly in the background and dealt with properly and safely in the background. So in many ways, patients shouldn't really know anything. They should just feel assured, if you like, that that's being dealt with properly.
And just finally, with the new hospital hopefully, you know, coming in the years ahead, will the centre still be, you know, operating as usual? Is there any plans how that's going to work yet, or is that too early to say?
That's a good question, actually, because it's come up several times. Because if you have a new hospital, brand new, state-of-the-art, modern hospital, and it's net zero, and it meets all the green plan targets, etc., it's a legitimate question to ask. Well, why do you need an incinerator? Is that compatible with that? But essentially, what we're looking at now, and we have this in mind all the time, because we've been looking at this for a number of years, is that although the new hospital will be self-sufficient in that way and won't need the steam provided by the incinerator, there are a number of trust retained buildings. So the brand new hospital is being built. There will still be a number of estates built. So a number of buildings in our estate, Tudor Centre, the Firs, here at Kirby Way, where I'm sitting at the moment, where the incinerator is and the boiler house, etc. All that will be retained, and that will need to be heated by steam through the same route that it is now. So that would have a use there. But even with the new hospital, you can actually have a turbine. You can fit a turbine. We can fit it in onto the incinerator plant, and then turn that steam into water, into electricity. So essentially, there is a route that means that we can actually still use the incinerator for our retained estate, and still use it for the new hospital, and it still offers the local community a source of energy. So there is another option there for the local authority, if they wanted to look at other energy sources for the local community. So it's got a life, essentially the plant has got a life of about at least 15 years. New hospital, we hope, is only 6 or 7 years away. So the difference in those two time periods won't be a problem, because we'll just adapt to the situation. So it's not money wasted. It won't go out of use. It will just be adapted, simply. Not simply, sorry. It's very difficult, but simply saying it that way. It's part of the plan. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Anything else you'd like to add about it at all that we've missed off?
I don't think so. It's a good success story for the Trust, actually. I think we should recognise that in all the, often there's difficult messages we have to deal with. But this is a successfully delivered project, major project, you know, a £10 million project, delivered on time, meeting all the requirements of the Environment Agency and all the necessary mechanical requirements. And it's bringing back a major asset into trust use that will make the trust money, as well as deal with the trust, you know, essentially deal with the trust issues, the trust waste issues, but actually make us money and reduce costs in that sense. So I think, and it provides resilience for the NHS. So I think all round, it's a good success story. And we ought to recognise that those people involved in the capital project, in bringing it to a conclusion on the contractual side with Medisol, have done a really good job, actually.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Steve, for coming on today's podcast.
You're welcome.
Much appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Okay, cheers.
So, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Please do join in the conversation about this episode, tag us in social media, and send us any other comments, and let us know your thoughts, and we'll see you next time.